This conference is being recorded.
Okay, we're picking up now from where we had stopped before on this quote number two. And it says, in fact, it is a sequel. Now, what is this that we're talking about that's a sequel to slavery? What we're talking about here as a sequel to slavery is the propagation of the faith or propaganda. So it is, in fact, propaganda is a sequel of slavery. It has been made possible by our system of miseducating innocent people. Now, this is a hard thing to accept. When you, for people to accept that they've been miseducated innocently, not knowing, for them to realize that, they have to come back to another point. And I'm, especially if you've got a master's, PhD, bachelor's, any of this stuff, especially in education, it becomes very difficult for you to accept the fact that you are part of the problem. Because you have been educated in a system that has been taught to miseducate you. And so what you have is that all of your life you've been teaching people stuff that is contrary to the word of Yahweh. For you to accept that, you have to be very humble and accept the fact that, number one, the stuff you was teaching, you never read anyway out of the Bible. This was just commentaries that was given to you. And that now you are help enslaving yourself, your children, and your whole community. You're help enslaving them through a system that you're a part of miseducating innocent people who do not know what was happening or what's happening around them. Now, most people don't realize what's going on with the TV, the media, and all of these different things, how all of these systems that are set up by our education system or curriculum is designed to keep us in a sleeping state, as the Bible calls it, the 10 verses parable. That's what it's designed for. It's not designed for anything else. It's designed for one thing, to keep us asleep, not studying the Bible, but studying the words of men. Or as the Bible will call it, we teach the traditions of men. And that's what we're talking about here. This is the same thing that he's saying is what Yeshua is saying, that we make void the law of Yahweh through our tradition. And one of our major traditions is the propaganda or the propagation of the faith. It is so subtle that men have participated in promoting it without knowing what they were doing. Now, how many of us are guilty of that? I know I am.
We all are.
No, I said you for yourself. You got to speak for yourself. You can't speak for everybody else.
Well,
you are. I know I am. That's why I said that.
We all who are studying and have been in the church have been, you know, like if you would speak of the four that's on the phone right now, we all have been attentive and active in the church. So if we have been men in this propaganda, then we are part of this propaganda.
Right, but everybody has to answer that for themselves. Because the catch is, if they don't see it, then they have not arrived yet.
I agree, okay.
Okay, so everybody has to speak for themselves. I see it, so I knew that I was teaching stuff. Now that I look back, yes, the stuff I was teaching was incorrect. And I thought, hey, nobody could have convinced me that I wasn't. So as long as I was in a state that I could not see that I was part of the problem and that I was promoting and participating in the enslavement of myself, my children, and my community, oh man, that's a hard thing even after you see it to accept it.
And it's more harder when you're educated.
Hey, well, that's the whole point. The whole point is that the system is tied that way. So everybody has to, you know, Yahweh has to awaken us out of our sleep, like the 10 virgins. And once we awake, then at that point, we have to decide. But see, the hardest part is to realize that we are participants of what we believe that we're speaking against. And that's the problem. The question is, how can I be so deceived that I believe that I'm doing good when I'm doing the exact opposite?
So the Bible says we love to hear lies.
Well, you know, those are some of the things we have to keep in mind. So that's why I said this, just this paragraph here, you can write a whole book just on this one little quote that we just did.
Okay.
Okay? I mean, and that's important. And that's why we move slow, so that we can make sure we understand it. Some people might be above others and pick it up quick. Some might not. It might take them a while to say, hey, man, I don't know if I want to believe that I've been deceived all this time. Hey, and you know, we can't blame them because we were all there at one time. Okay? And that's why I said, this is a self-perpetuating system of control. Now, what do I mean by self-perpetuating? First of all, what do I mean by system? When I talk about a system, I talk about something that has almost everything taken into consideration that it can, such that it evolves and keeps moving forward. As an example would be, our body is the human system. It's all tied together. It doesn't need, you know, anything else that's outside of it. You know, it needs air and other things to perpetuate it, but it keeps its own thing. You eat, it dissolves it. It throws it out. You breathe it. You know, everything is just constantly working together to make up a system. The same thing when we talk about a car. A car is a system where everything in there just keeps running and running and running. It's a system such that things interact with each other to make a system move and work. So now that we haven't considered and thought about what system are we in of education, that it continues to propagate and self-perpetuate itself. As long as it's being fed some money, it can keep going. And so that's what I meant by a self-perpetuating system. And then it's of control, because it no longer, it just doesn't control the people that go to the college. It controls the 2-3-year-olds that are watching the TV. It controls the ones that go to school, which makes it mandatory. It is against the law for you not to be brainwashed. Did you know that? It is against the law for you to be not to be miseducated. That's against the law. See, so once we realize that we think that the law is good and we're following it, then we perpetuate it. So that's what I'm talking about. That's why I said, hey, man, this stuff is, I mean, some of the stuff we say in these lines, man, it take a book to write. It ain't no one line and move on to the next one. I mean, otherwise you miss the point. And so when it's a self-perpetuating system of control, then I said that has hijacked the true education. Now, what does hijack mean? That means I stick you up and demand your money, and demand everything you got. And that's what they have done. They hijacked. They came to you and said, hey, huh, okay, I want everything that's supposed to be taught in the Bible out of it. I want you only to read what I am telling you to read. And if you don't, you might lose your soul, brother. That's what they're telling you. They're telling you, man, that if you don't get our education, our miseducation, and you accept the miseducation as the true education, that's what the problem is. So there's two types of education. There's the true education, and there's the miseducation. Now, the system that controls the beast and its system, and the system that we are in America, and throughout Europe and other parts of the world, is a system of miseducation, of the beast system. And it says that if you don't teach what I tell you to teach, you can lose your job. You can lose your life. We can make it hard for you that you can never get a job again and you can never work for you again in your life. Now, the reason why I said that, because I've heard that has happened to people. And that's what hijack means. They stick them up. And they say, hey, you're either going to do and obey. Now, in the last days, the Bible tells us that unless we accept the mark of the beast, what's going to happen? Can't buy or sell. So that's another hijack form, a total hijack. You accept, you either worship the beast and his image. Worship. And how do you worship him? Through your intellect. And how's that? Through miseducation. So we can be worshiping Lucifer, thinking we're worshiping Yahweh. And that's serious hijack. And then if you're told that, hey, if you leave the church, you lost. If you speak against the words of the church, you're lost. And that's what it was in the time of the Dark Ages. That's what the Protestant movement was about. That they spoke against what the church was saying at that time, which was the Catholic Church, that they would nail you, they would put you up and torture you and do everything so that you can recant. Are we in that same situation today?
Well,
most people don't know. They have no clue.
No, the thing of it is, Emmanuel, we are just about in that, because right now we see that the job market and everything is crashing. And so if everything crashed around us and then someone comes out and say, if you don't believe what we are telling you, you won't be able to get a job, you won't be able to live in a home, you won't be able to do this, then we are, what I'm saying, we are just about at that state now because we...
Okay, I'm saying something a little different. What I'm saying is... We have been there, and we are there. Let me give you a good example. All the stuff we talk about right here, the children's book, all that stuff, the dope book. In the 1990s, I presented all of this to the education systems of Allegheny East, West, all of those in Florida and all of that. They all met together. I presented all of this stuff to them. We had workshops. And I was told by some of the teachers, that, as a group, I said, hey, how many of y'all going to order? They said, brother... Man, we can lose our job teaching this stuff. And I said, wait a minute, man. I said, are y'all here for the people or what? And they were saying, listen, brother, we can lose our job teaching this. Now, we ain't getting your books, man. So this was not done. We're talking about 1990, so we're not talking about something for the future. And that's what I'm saying. We're missing the point. The point is today you can lose your job. Matter of fact, when we study the introduction, we're going to see that in the first... Turn there with me for just for a second. Quick second. I just want to read that one little part to you. This is the second paragraph on the introduction. And this is what was happening to them. The second paragraph. This is on page 15. After the creation of Black Studies programs at several American universities, the scholarship of several Black professors was questioned in the late 1960s, when they taught that the people of the Bible were people of color. Now check that out, man. That's 1960s. This is the middle of the what we call it, the civil rights movement. And so, listen, then do you think they was accepted then? No. I taught it in the 90s. 30 years later, a whole nother generation came up. Do you think they accepted it? No. So now here's another generation, 20 years after that. So we're talking about 50 years ago.
So what happened to Dr. Henry Clark?
That's what we're going to read. He's old, man. He's old. He's a very old guy. They're in their 80s, 90s, 100s. Dr. Henry Clark and Dr. Joseph Ben DeHakken were two of the leading African study professors who helped establish the association for the study of classical African civilization, ASCAR, that's the way it's pronounced, clearly advocated this perspective in their writing. On the other hand, now do you think that the church accepted this? Let's see what it says. On the other hand, the official Black church organization, okay, that has been educated where? In the system of miseducation.
Right.
Okay. The official church, okay, the official On the other hand, the official black church organizations rejected these teachings as heresy. Now, heresy goes all the way back to the Protestant movement, as the brother was saying, 13, 14, 15, 1600, 17, 1800, that you would be lynched and died. The church's viewpoint was that the King James Version, I should have had in there the authorized King James Version, of the Bible, and its Eurocentric viewpoint was complete. That means there's no way that we're going to accept anything besides what we have been shown and told from the Eurocentric viewpoint, and accepting the authorized King James Bible, the 1611 edition, as the Word of God, with its commentaries and its pictures. And that's the most important part. People accepted the pictures as the absolute Word of God. This was not to be challenged or questioned by black scholarship. So as we can see here, the stuff I'm teaching today, it's nothing new. It's just a generation ago. The generation that came before us in the church was, they believed that they were teaching and that they were helping our people by teaching them the Eurocentric viewpoint. But I mean, that's what we believe, that's what we taught, and I taught it for many years. I've done the same thing. And so, but I didn't know that I was participating and promoting the very thing that was destroying our people. And so here, at the time of the Civil Rights Movement, that's when we had most of the people who were, as we would see it, as awake, as trying to, you know, really get free. But even at that time, we still had in the leadership those who did not know. And so that's why I said it's a system of control, that it controls itself, such that there's no white man that had to say to the black studies program that you can't teach that. No. It wasn't them that said that. It was our own people. We were promoting and participating in something we did not even know anything that we were doing, that we did not know what we were doing. Now today we realize what we were doing. And we pray that some of the people will be able to see and be able not to make the same mistakes we made back in the 1960s. The same mistakes that I was told that I just example I gave you back in the 1990s. So but that now that we're at 2010, that we will move into a whole nother acceptance of the Bible.
So
accepting its viewpoint.
Back in the early 50s when the blacks couldn't sit on the buses and the blacks were couldn't eat, sit down in the restaurants, this was part of this propaganda that blacks were not equal to whites. And so a lot of the black churches said we will continue to be separate because they don't want to accept us. And now as we're going into the 21st century, we're finding out more and more in the Bible about who we are in the Bible. The black churches still do not want to just that we are the people of the Bible.
Well, don't worry. Everybody will come. Everybody has to. This is the loud cry. If it's the loud cry, everybody got to hear it. Don't have to accept it. Just got to hear it. And notice the next sentence. It says, they used accreditation and our curriculum system to enslave people's minds. So most people don't know to be accredited, that means that you have to accept what they give you and you're going to teach what they say, even though you are miseducating your people. So that's what accreditation is. If you see it or if you don't see it, it doesn't matter because it's propaganda. And then it's introduced through the curriculum. And so guess who writes the curriculum? The same people who have been writing the Bible commentaries are the same people that's writing the curriculum for our school systems. Okay? Then it says that they use accreditation. And today, you know, how many schools will be non-accredited? Only these schools that say that, yeah, we're a, what they call that thing, we're a satellite school. We're one of these schools that are charter school. We got the best education in the world. But okay, it's the best education to help your people. Are you teaching this propaganda? are you teaching their curriculum? And they will tell you yes. And you say, well, why don't you just give up your accreditation? Right. And they'll be telling you, well, I can't give up the curriculum and teach what's right if I want to keep my job. But I said, wait a minute, I thought you're a charter school. You're independent of these guys. You're going to prove that teaching true education versus miseducation will free our people and will give them a better education. So they're saying, if we accept that, then we won't be accredited. Well, I said, then don't be accredited. They said, that's easy for you to say. But the parents, remember, the parents were scared. They believe that you will get an inferior education if your school is not accredited. Where today we know that all the schools, the public schools, all of these schools are accredited, and our kids are learning nothing. So tell me, why can't you accept the non-accreditation? Because maybe you might learn true education. So this is the challenge that's before them. If you're not learning it in the accredited school and being accredited by them with their curriculum, can we rewrite our own curriculum, which is true education, and will that enslave the people or will that free their mind? Yes, we know it'll free their mind. That's guaranteed because Yahweh has said that I will bring all these things to your remembrance. Yahweh says that, it says to man. But see, most people don't know what wisdom and knowledge is. The Bible talks about in the book of Job, I believe it's chapter 30. It might not be 30, but it makes, no, 28. It talks about that man, the living, does not even know what is wisdom. We do not value, the living does not value wisdom. We have no clue of what wisdom is. You can't get it for gold. Rubies cannot be compared to it. Pearls cannot be compared to it. The purest gold cannot be compared to it. But at the same time, we think that if we go and get accreditation, that's the catch. If we become accredited, then we will get that knowledge. We will get that understanding. But the Bible doesn't say that. I'm going to read that to you. I was just reading this week. This is what has been hitting me very closely in my mind that Yahweh has been showing me. This is in Job chapter 28. If you have your Bible, you can turn to it. It says here in verse 12, but where shall wisdom be found? Is it in accredited schools? No, because that's miseducation. And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. Amen. Man, when I read this is like, what? You mean to tell me I'm spending all my time and all my energy going there? Yes, you can get understanding, you can get knowledge, but unless you have Yahweh to put the pieces together for you, the mental, the physical, and the spiritual, you're going to miss it. Because the ones who are teaching it don't know it. Verse 13 says, man knoweth not the price thereof. Neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth says, it is not in me. The seed says, it is not in me. It cannot be gotten for gold. No matter how much money you get, you can't buy this. Neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. And the exchange of it shall not be for jewels or fine gold. But today, what are we doing? That's what we're giving for it. Okay, hey, if I go to a private school, my church school or wherever, I just go to a private school, I'm going to get this wisdom. See, I can pay for it. See, I mean, this is, you know, the Bible has said this, and we still didn't get it. Because we said that if I send them to my school, if I send them there where they're being credited, if I do what they say, I will get this. And the Bible says, no, not so. Verse 18, no mention shall be made of coral or pearls, for the price of wisdom, amen, is above rubies. the topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Now, this is the most interesting part, because when people, if you ask young people and older people and everybody, what are you here for? Hey, man, I'm here to make some money, man. I'm here to get a good job. I'm here to get... Okay, see, you're not valuing the right thing. Even if you've got the knowledge, can you apply that knowledge to help you understand the Bible and Yahweh? We don't do that. See, that's not even in our frame of reference. But for the first time, I'm starting to see of how it all ties together. This first time, I'm just starting to see it. Some of the stuff I'm taking, some of the stuff Yahweh is revealing to me on this raw food type of diet I'm on, oh man, it's just wonderful. It's just like out of this world. Notice verse 20. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding?
Man, are you reading from the book of Job?
Yes, I told you what verses. Yeah, I said I'm reading Job chapter 28. I started at verse number 12. Now I'm at verse number 20.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm reading directly out of it because I said, hey, I got to stop because Yahweh showed me this week. And I said, man, this is like wonderful, man. This is like, wow. And so this matches exactly what we're saying. That's why I said, you know, these paragraphs that I got on that piece of paper, man, that's a little bit of nothing. This is what I was trying to say in that paragraph. Not many people are going to get this. But that's what I'm saying. So you say we're moving slow? Yeah. But listen, look at all the scriptures we cover. We're relating it to a bigger thing so that we can understand it. Okay, notice what it says in verse 21. Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death said, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God, or Yahweh, or Elohim, understands the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. Now, what does he tell us? Well, the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, so that he might be able to do this. And they have decided that, hey, if we study, Yahweh might show him to his people. To true Israel, they might start to see it. But we can't let that happen. And so, as they have put in motion a conspiracy, as I said, a conscious conspiracy, to keep the true Hebrews and Israelites of ever knowing who they are, that they will never read the book, but they will say at the same time, I believe everything in the book. Now, how could you believe everything in the book if you never read it? How could you believe everything in the book if you're not following it? If you don't follow it, that means you don't believe it. You can't give me lip service and saying, yes, I believe. No, God says that he keepeth the way and the place of knowledge and understanding. And he will give it to them. And the Bible says, he that lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let's give it to men liberally. So it is hidden from the man and from the society of miseducation. That's why I said this self-perpetuating system of control has hijacked what we're talking about. They have hijacked this understanding, this truth that Yahweh told us in Job chapter 28, that he wants to give to us, that is hidden from all the living, hidden from those who have no connection with him. It is only given to them who he chooses to give it to, so that he might awaken them to give the loud cry. Because we know in the last days, 144,000 are without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And they will be sitting at his feet. They're not going to be sitting listening to the ways of man. They're not going to be listening to what thus saith, you know, I am the voice, you know, whatever they do. They're not going to be listening to every wind of doctrine that is blowing. They're going to be tied in directly to him, and he's going to be able to reveal to them the secrets of life. But now, and at the same time, we must realize that our minds that we have to come to the point that we were hijacked and that there's something wrong with our thinking. Notice verse number 23 and 24 again. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looks to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to mark the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Then did he see it? What did he see? And then did he declare it? What did he declare? He prepared it. What did he prepare? Yea, he searched it out. What did he search out? And verse 28 tells us, Job 28:28, is one of my favorite verses. And unto man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is with him. Now what does that mean? Well, to me, it means that if we fear him, we're going to study. And then once we study, we're going to see what he says, and we're going to implement it. We're going to implement what he says of who we are, whose book this is, and how does it relate. Now, how is he going to get us to interpret it? He has to give us that. That means he says, listen, I got to get you on a special diet so your mind can get clear. Once you're clear on this diet and you got no longer the Eurocentric viewpoint, now I can reveal to you my secret. So that's what it means to fear the Lord. It don't mean to be scared that he's going to strike you down. As some people might say, well, man, hey, if he removes your name from the church roll, you'll be lost. He ain't keeping that over our head about some loss and salvation and hell and all. That's not what he's into. He's saying something entirely different than that. He says, if you fear me, you love me. If you love me, you'll obey me. And so that's all he's trying to get us to do, to yield to those harder things, like, you know, the diet. That's a hard thing for most of us. But he says that that's what clears our mind so that we can see some of the stuff that we couldn't see before. And then he says, and unto man, he says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart, that's the catch word, to depart from evil is understanding. Now, obviously, what we've just been talking about, this perpetual miseducation, this curriculum and accreditation, this system of enslaving of the mind. I think that's what it says. They use accreditation and our curriculum system to enslave people's mind. Now, once you see that, how could you tell me and be an educator and tell me that, hey, I might lose my job, so I can't teach this? I said, wait. I said, man, you're the wrong profession. You know, I mean, you can see now, that through accreditation and curriculum, that they're enslaving our minds. This mental and spiritual slavery we find ourselves in today is equal to and sometimes worse than the slavery of our forefathers. Now, how long ago was that? A little less than 150 years ago. We're not even talking about a long time. We're talking about a time that's what? Four generations at the most, if you count 40 years. So we're talking about 4 generations. And in those 4 generations, we have forgotten and are going backwards. People died, was imprisoned to read and to study. And today, our young people, sometimes our old people, they do not treasure wisdom and knowledge and understanding above gold. They don't understand that, hey, wisdom, everything anybody can take from you, but they can't take your knowledge from you. They can't take your connection with Yahweh from you. And only he can give you the true wisdom. Then it says here, this mental and spiritual slavery. So it's not just a mental slavery, but as we've been saying, that when you miseducated, now you move into a spiritual slavery. This mental and spiritual slavery we find ourselves in today is equal to, and sometimes worse, than the slavery of our fathers. Well, the reason why I'm saying it's worse, some people might not agree. They say, no, brother, it ain't worse. I said, well, okay, let's think about it for a minute. They knew that they was in slavery with the chains on. And then they desired to leave it. And so that's what I mean. We are in the same type of slavery and have no desire to leave it. Matter of fact, one sometime when we're brought to it so that we can free others, we will say, no, I don't think I want to do that. Why? Because I might lose my job. Hey, I might get, you know, ostracized. I might lose my position as first elder. See, we are so caught up in everything besides what he is telling us to, but it's not our fault. It's the fault of miseducation for 400 years. And so we have to decide, as we come to this point, of how will we help our people to see. And notice what it says. This all became possible. How did this happen? This all became possible under our system of learning and education, which is in reality the miseducation of the masses through social engineering. Now, what is social engineering? People talk about social engineering. What does that mean? Well, you know, if you're an engineer, you can create things. Like, you can create robots, you create programs, you create computers and all of those different things. You create a TV, you create a radio. And so all of these things are doing things. And so when we're talking about, you know, if you got a radio, you tune the radio to a certain station, right? When you tune it to that certain station, then you get these signals coming through, and now you can listen to what these signals are saying. And you can turn up the volume or turn down the volume. The same thing when you have a TV. You can turn the TV to a certain station, and it'll tune in, and it'll just keep feeding you all that information on that frequency. See, these are all frequencies. The radio's on a frequency level. The TV's on a frequency level. So they're feeding you all of this information. But these things have to be tuned or programmed. When you have a program in your computer, you type in these certain things, and it'll come back and give you something. You type in something on the web, and you ask a question, it'll give it back to you. So these things are all programmed to do certain things and to react a certain way. Okay? It's built through engineers. So what is social engineering? Social engineering is that we program, just like you program a program in a computer to do certain things, it's only going to do what you programmed it to do. But now they have used brainwashing, social engineering, to make us think, act, and do certain things that sometimes we don't even know that we're doing ourselves. That's what's called social engineering. They are brainwashing us and making us and turning us into something that we don't even know. And then at the same time, we will say, I'm against that. Well, why are you doing it? I don't know. So this is what I'm talking about as social engineering. They are miseducating. That's how this has happened, through social engineering. They're using society. That's why I said when you go to the school, I mean, the school is designed that you have to go to school so that you can be what? Accept the social ideas and ideology that they want you to accept. And if you go outside of them, then they say, hey, and the red flag goes up. And the same thing like in the Matrix, as they say. You know, when you wake up from the Matrix, they put you there. You need to go back to sleep. So that you can just be rocked to sleep. And that's where we find ourselves today. Now, what else does it say? It says it trains innocent people. That's me and you. I was innocent. A lot of these people out here that are doing these things are innocent. It trains. You get that? Trains innocent people to get degrees. Nothing wrong with getting degrees. But you better make sure you understand what the degree you're getting. And those who do not really know what is happening to them or what is happening in their minds until it is too late. It's like the brother said, you know, yeah, he did it, I did it, and then it was too late. I can't take back all the years I was teaching error. I can't take back all the people I have miseducated. I have to live with that now. But I can now go forward and say, hey, I'm changing, That's what conversion means. That's what a transformation means. I'm going to be transformed from miseducation to true education. I'm going to help us awake out of darkness that we might see the marvelous light. It is so subtle and imperceptible. That means you can't even see it. You can't even put your hands on it. You cannot even feel it. That we participate in promoting this social engineering without even knowing what we are doing. And that is wild. I mean, that we actually are, I mean, it's like a baby. You know, babies don't know what the baby's doing. We like little babies. Not even realizing what's going on. After receiving so many degrees in education, not in engineering, in education, not in science, in education. See, because Yahweh has created the heavens and the earth and the science around us that we're supposed to study and learn. Because from the sciences, we learn from Yahweh. That's what he tells us. But notice what has happened when you're this education system. You know, you're just promoting education. It says here, after receiving so many degrees in education, we hate to hear and find out that we are part of the problem. And I add that word innocently because most of us never knew. I know I did. Most are not conscious enough. We're asleep. Our mind ain't clear. We're eating the wrong things that is clogging our brains. And that's why we can't see. That's why the health message has to be part of this message. That's why when the last loud cry goes forth, it goes forth with an understanding of the health message so that your mind can be clear to perceive all things what Yahweh wants to give to us. Most are not conscious enough to figure out how to get out of this present day dilemma. Yes, it is a dilemma. There's no question about it. We are in a dilemma. This book is designed to introduce present truth for our time. Now, why was there between present truth and just truth? Well, the difference between truth is truth has always been around. The question of present truth is, how is it applicable to me right now, in the present day? Not how it was back in Wycliffe's time. Not how it was in Noah's time. Now, how does that relate to me right now so I can make present day application to the present dilemma that I find myself in? So I need, at this time, present truth for our time. And to help us in our present day dilemma. We have been called by Yahweh to be watchmen on the wall of Zion. That's what all of us, everybody's been called in. So I hope, you know, I mean, I'm going to have to stop here because we got Ezekiel, we got all this, we still got a bunch of other stuff, but I think we've covered enough to help us start to perceive, you know, start to understand a discipline of what Yahweh is trying to deliver us from. Because if we don't know what we're delivering, what we're being delivered from, then we can never be delivered from it. Because we will keep going back into it, not knowing that he's trying to deliver us from that. It's just like some people say, yeah, but what is the Lord saving you from? I don't know. It may be saving me from hell. Yeah, that's what most people say. Hey, he's saving me from dying. No, you're going to die, brother, sister. Yeah, well, he's going to save me from hell. Well, wait a minute, man. I thought he's supposed to save us from our sins. See, so if you don't know that he's supposed to save you from your sins, how are you going to give up your sins? You don't. So it's a delicate balance that Yahweh is telling us the dilemma we find ourselves in. As the Bible says, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead.